You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Folks, I have the, I have the bass scanner hooked up right in front of the microphone here so that you can hear what it sounds like if anybody out there is talking on the radio. And that's just so that you can catch a little bit of what it is that you might be interested in. The bass and the handheld are both exactly the same in their capabilities. They're exactly the same in the quality. The base station will receive broadcasts from a farther distance. And I have it hooked up here with the antenna that comes with it. It comes with its own antenna that works really, really good. Now, the handheld has just a little, about a 6-inch rubber ducky antenna on it, and it's battery operated. So it will not receive stations as far away as the base unit will, but it will do everything else that the base unit will, and just as good. So if, you know... That's quite a ways away. Now, I have heard on this scanner that's sitting right here in front of this microphone, I have heard people go 10-7 in Camp Verde and Flagstaff, and I heard an airplane talking to the Phoenix airport from 150 miles east of Phoenix, which put it about 200 miles away from us. And when somebody goes 10-7 in Camp Verde, you're talking about 100 miles away, or at least 80. I mean, no problem whatsoever. Flagstaff is an hour and a half driving at the, just as fast as you can get away with. It's an hour and a half from here. So this little scanner with its own antenna that comes with it is hearing all of these broadcasts from as far away as 200 miles, which is just incredible. Now, you have to remember this is a rural area, so we don't get the kind of scanner activity that you could anticipate in Los Angeles or Kansas City or New York City or... any place where there's a large population. We're in a rural area. There's about 7,500 people that live around this valley. And, you know, most of them don't live in the valley. They live outside the valley, but within, you know, radio distance. In the valley, I think maybe in Eager, there's maybe 2,500 people, and maybe in Springerville, about 2,000. So anyway, that's maybe all we're going to hear for a little while. But at least you got to hear something. So remember that you can have one of these scanners, and we're not going to order any more of the base. We're not going to order any more of the base scanners. We will order more of the handheld scanners. That's a station ID. That's how these automatic communications units ID their station, which has to be done every so often. So that's what you just heard. But remember, we will order more of the handheld scanners simply because they're less expensive, and a lot of people seem to rather have them than the base unit because they can take them wherever they go. And when they're at home...
Myself and 44 will be 10-7 at...
They can...
thank you. Get there 981.
Plug them into the AC power at home and put an outside antenna plug into the handheld, and it's the same as the base scanner. The base scanner is also a mobile scanner. In other words, it has the place to mount it into a mobile bracket underneath your dashboard on each side of the scanner, and you can make this base scanner a mobile scanner. And it's a great scanner. You just won't believe it when you see it. It's wonderful. When you hear something like that, it's somebody talking way, way far away.
The 21 to information I need to relay to you.
The price is on the...
Vehicles, I have a 21 in my vehicle.
10-4-0-1909.
I'm going to turn it down now, folks, because I got to tell you what the prices are and the address so we can get in tonight's broadcast. I'm not putting this on the air to disclose what's going on around here to the world. That's not why I'm doing it. Anybody with a scanner can hear these broadcasts anywhere. There's lots of people in this valley who have scanners, who are listening to all of the activity all of the time. We do for a specific reason, and I think that most of you will want to for specific reasons also. You want to know what the enemy's up to. And by enemy, I don't mean the police department or the police officers or necessarily anybody else. I'm specifically talking about the federal Gestapo. If you have some local Gestapo, then, you know, you can handle that within your community. But the federal Gestapo is extremely dangerous. They're deadly. They kill people for nothing. Literally nothing. They are outlaws. And you need to know what they're up to before they get to your door. And the only way you can do that is with a scanner. So, if you would like to order one of the handheld scanners, they're $260 delivered to your door. That's post-paid, $260. The base units are $280. It's only $20 more. $280 delivered to your door. And you can send it in the form of a blank money order or cash to the hour of the time in care of 101.1 FM. P.O. Box 940, that's P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. That's the hour of the time, in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. It's another good thing about scanners, is that you know what's going on. And if somebody needs your help, you know about it, and you can provide it. And another thing, you know what your buddies in law enforcement are driving the ambulance are doing. In a rural area like this, I have friends in the police department. I have friends in the DPS. I have friends in emergency services. I have friends in the forestry department. I have friends all over the place. You would be amazed at how many patriots there are, and you would also be amazed at who has absolutely no idea that they're patriots. And so we can sort of keep a friendly ear to them also and help them if they need help. So remember, we have these available. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. Here's another reason why you need to get a scanner. And if you can, you need to get a base scanner and a handheld scanner so that you can put the base at home. You can take the handheld with you when you go somewhere. And you will have a permanent unit at home that your family can listen to all the time. And you have a handheld unit that you can take mobile with you. Now, you need to read up on the laws in your state, because in some states, if you get caught in an automobile with a scanner, you can be arrested and taken to jail. So make sure that you understand what the law is. And in some states, it's not whether you're listening to it at all. It just has to be present in the car. So make sure you know what the law is, and make sure you know what you're doing when you use these things. Don't use them for illegal or unlawful purposes. Remember, me, William Cooper, the hour of the time, all of our organizations, we believe in the law. That's why we have taken the stance that we take. We are against tyranny. We are in support of the law. We are in support of the lawful government. We are in support of the Constitution for the United States of America and our state. And we will support all of those people who are also in support of the law. We will oppose anyone who is acting against the law or under the color of law in order to usurp the rights of the citizens of the states or to inflict tyranny upon us. Understand those things, folks. In Congress right now is a bill. I don't remember the number off the top of my head. I'll give that to you tomorrow night. There is a bill to outlaw scanners all across the nation. It looks like it might pass the House. If it passes the House and passes the Senate, you know damn well Bill Clinton's going to sign it. So before it becomes law, you need to get a scanner, because they cannot pass an ex post facto law. Do you understand what I'm talking about? What they will do is outlaw scanners from the time that that law is passed, and you will not be able to get one if they pass the law and inflict it illegally and unlawfully upon the citizens within the states. If somebody makes a scanner within your state and they sell it in the state to you, it's not engaged in interstate or international commerce. The truth is, the federal government has no control over that scanner. Only the state does. And if your state doesn't outlaw the scanners, then you have no problem. But if you attempt to purchase a scanner that has been engaged or involved in interstate or international commerce, then you could be breaking the law, because they have the right to legislate in those cases. So understand that. So remember, they're trying to pass legislation outlawing all scanners. So if you want one, you better get one now, because it looks like it might pass. They have a lot of support from a lot of people to outlaw scanners. Okay, here we go into our broadcast. I backed it up a little so that you didn't miss anything. And this might be the last night. I don't remember how long the ending of this goes. But this is the fifth broadcast of the Legality of Taxes Symposium that was recently conducted in Washington, D.C.
And there's a question for me. We have attended this very informative symposium, and we would like to know what is next. The IRS and the federal government have refused to acknowledge the invitation to attend and rebut the research presented here today. What happens next? It is very disturbing to me personally and to the foundation that we have presented this evidence to the government, to the IRS, and to the heads of the political branches, to the president himself and to the leaders of the two houses of Congress. In May, a very respectful letter submitting copies of these reports and requesting that they be here to participate in the symposium. We need to get to the truth. No response. In early June, a follow-up letter. No response. It's a very serious matter. Jefferson said, when government steps outside of the boundaries that the people have put around government, when they take one step outside, he said, they take possession of a boundless field of power, not capable of definition any longer, no longer capable of definition. So it, fundamentally, it's a question of sovereignty. Who's sovereign? Are the people sovereign or is the government sovereign? Can government act unrestrained, outside of the limits that we, the people, have placed around it? Very heavy question. It's not the first time. It's not the first time that government has ignored, turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to the will of the people, as expressed in our constitutions, both state and in the minds of many, out of control of the people. There is a need to bring them back under control, not just on this issue, but in many other issues. So it's a question, I think, what do ordinary citizens do? Ordinary non-aligned citizens do when they are confronted with governmental wrongdoing. Larry Beecraft, as you have heard, was the attorney representing plaintiffs in a series of cases in 1985 and 86. I have reviewed those cases. I'm in my 20th year of closely evaluating governmental behavior, comparing that behavior with the constitutions, state and federal, and then confronting before the courts improprieties, conflicts, behavior by the government that seems to be outside of these boundaries. So I was very interested on the 16th Amendment on this issue. What have the courts said? What's happened in the courts? And so I reviewed these cases. I was delighted to see Larry Beecraft's name as an attorney representing plaintiffs in most of those cases, and that's why he's here today. But as I was startled, stunned by what I'd read. It's clear if you read those cases, you line them up and you read one after the other, you see precisely when Bill Benson's evidence first made its way into a case. And when it was first presented, the argument of the attorneys was, there's no 16th Amendment. Look at all these procedural errors. And the courts ruled, Federal Court of Appeals ruled, dismissing the cases based upon a doctrine, the doctrine of conclusive presumption. What they were saying was, look, the Secretary of State back in 1913 declared, proclaimed it ratified. The 16th Amendment was ratified. That's it. Case closed. It was interesting, as you read the cases, the attorney said, went back into court on another case and